Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody, and He loves you.
CDC. This is yours truly, Pastor C, in the studio in Forestville, Maryland. I believe we have Rev B on the line in Silver Spring, Maryland. What up, Rev B?
Pastor C, what's happening, buddy? How you doing this evening?
I'm blessed, as they say, by the best, couldn't stand any less.
All right, happy Sunday to you, and we want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. And we're excited about another show here on Blog Talk Radio and Pastor's ACDC. And, of course, we always like to start off every show, Pastor C, with just thanking all of our very fine listeners for all of their continued support of us here. And just continue calling in, listening in, going back and listening to the archive shows. We appreciate all of it. And we just thank you all for your continued support. And don't forget tonight, if you want to chime in, the number is 347-324-5569. And also, don't forget to hit us up on Facebook and Twitter. You can hit us up on Facebook at Pastor's Aid. And, of course, you can hit us up on Twitter at PACDC316. And, of course, you know, we got a lot of important information we're going to be passing along tonight. And, you know, one thing we do want to encourage everybody is we got 48 hours till election day, so we want to definitely encourage everybody tonight to get out there come Tuesday if you haven't already casted your vote in the early elections, to definitely get out there Tuesday and let your voice be heard. Pastor C.
Amen, amen. I was calling some of our seniors earlier this evening and asking them when was the first time they voted. My daughter, she's going to be voting for the first time this year. She turned 18 in, on last week, and so she's going to be voting for the first time this year. And I was asking some of the seniors that I talked to earlier this evening when was the first time they voted, and I talked to my dad, he's 79. He voted was 1936, I believe it was, he said, and that he had voted for President Dwight Eisenhower. And he said that he was 21 years old and that it was very difficult because they were black folks trying to vote, and they had a lot of Jim Crow going on where they had to read the Constitution, and a lot of things were happening where it made it difficult for people of color to vote. But they were trying to get crushed and try to crush the vote. But they were able to persevere and continue to vote. And so that was one of the stories that I got from some of our seniors tonight about the privilege to vote and the struggle that it took to vote, and how important the Voting Rights Amendment, I believe it came in 1965 under Lyndon B. Johnson, that made sure that you didn't have to go through any of that Jim Crow stuff so that people could vote. So just getting a poll on people who had voted when it was difficult, more difficult for people of color to vote, and how we've come so far, and how important it is for everyone, not just people of color, but everyone, to realize how precious it is to be able to cast your vote for who you believe is the best candidate for the job without having suppression or disenfranchisement looming over your head. Rev B?
Definitely. You know, we want to encourage everybody to get out there and make their voice heard. I was just watching a few minutes ago on the news. You know, they got so many different plots and schemes out here telling people that their voting rights are under question. And, you know, it's just a lot of different organizations out here that are really trying their very best to especially get minority voters to stay home. So we're just encouraging everybody to go out there and let their voice be heard with the power of their vote. And, you know, don't just think it's just about you. I mean, just think about the people, you know, who had to sacrifice their lives, their blood, sweat, tears, you know, protesting, sit-ins, I mean, just everything just to be able to get the right to vote and not have to go through, you know, literacy tests and Jim Crow and, you know, grandfather clausing and all of that. But then also, most importantly, just know that your vote, you know, is going to be important, because you know, some of the choices that are made now will affect your children, it affects your grandchildren, and in some cases it could even affect your great-grandchildren. So, you know, when you think about voting, you know that it's for a lot of people other than yourselves. It's for people of the past who never had the right to vote, and it's for, you know, people in the future whose choices and decisions that we make now could affect people's lives, you know, years to come. So we're just encouraging everybody to get out there and vote. If you know somebody that may have trouble trying to get out there, you know, and, you know, just encourage them, do carpools, do whatever. But, you know, it doesn't, like I said, it doesn't matter how long you have to wait, but please just make sure you know, you stand in line, do what you need to do, and you know, and cast that vote on Tuesday, because you know, it's a great right to have as citizens in this country, the right to vote, because we know we can go anywhere else in the world, you know, and that right is not a privilege. You know, you have to be of a certain, you know, background. Sometimes, you know, their caste system, so certain people, you know, get to vote and other people don't. So, but luckily here in America, you know, you can vote regardless of the color of your skin, regardless of how much money you make, regardless of what you do for a living. It's a right that's granted to all, so we're definitely, you know, blessed to be in a country such as this, and we're just encouraging everybody to go out and let their voice be heard, because at the end of the day, Pastor C, our voice is all we got, you know.
That's right.
Our money and our education, it's our voice. That's what people are going to hear, you know, at the end of the day. So we're just encouraging everybody to get out there and make it happen, make those changes happen that would be in the best interest for everybody.
Amen, amen. I just want to start us off with a little bit of controversy, if that's all right, Rev B.
Oh, yeah, not like some good controversy, Pastor C.
What is it that people who are voting, what is it that would get them to be suspicious if their party were to be participating in suppressing people to right to vote, and what would get them to want to change people from saying, hey, you know, this, you're my party, you know, I agree with what the party platform is, you know, we have fundamental differences, we have fundamental changes, But why do we have to go to the extreme of trying to disenfranchise people, bringing back, you know, those things that were prior to the 1965 Voter Rights Act, you know, where they had Jim Crow and poll taxes and literacy tests and, you know, bureaucratic restrictions and physical violence. What would get people who are voting for a particular party, what should get them angry enough to tell their party leaders, you know, this stuff is ridiculous. Either we're going to win on our platform, we're going to win on our ideas, but why do we choose to want to win on, you know, suppressing the vote and you know, disenfranchising folks? You know, what do you think would make, you know, the common everyday voter get sick and tired of people trying to get people, make it harder for people to vote? So, you know, that's what I want to start some stuff. I want to start some stuff like, you know, if you're voting and you have the right to vote just like everybody else, what would, you know, piss you off or get you mad enough to tell your party, look, you know, let's win on ideas. Let's win on what our record says and not let's win on disenfranchising folks.
I mean, you bring up a very good point, Pastor C, in that, you know, why can't politics be run clean, be run fair, where we run on, you know, principles and, you know, we run on our platforms and, you know, and we stand to what we believe in and so on and so forth. But, you know, now, you know, I think that it's really just gotten to the point where it's, you know, it's desperation, you know, and especially, you know, when you look at certain political parties who, you know, are saying, you know, we want to get, you know, the president out of there any way possible. And if that means we got to lie, if that means we got to spread rumors, if that means we got to say stuff that we know is not true, then we're going to do it, you know. And, I mean, it's sad to say that, you know, this campaign, Pastor C, has become more of an issue about race than it's become about anything else. You know, at the end of the day, you know, I really firmly believe in my heart that that's what it's going to come down to. It's going to come down to an issue of race. It's going to be, you know, black and white. It's going to be cut and dry. It's not going to be any gray areas. I just really think people will be like, either, you know, we're going to go with this or we're going to make a change and go with something else. And I don't think a lot of people technically will be voting on the issues that are at hand. You know, I think in a lot of these areas, especially when you get like into those Bible Belt states and things like that, where it's real traditional. I mean, you know, it's you know, it's really left wing. You know, they're real liberalists. You know, that, you know, they look at it as strictly a black and white thing. You know, and that's what it is. So, you know, it's sad to say that, you know, the president and Governor Romney can't just basically run a campaign where they discuss the issues and the needs of the country. I just think that now it's just become more of an issue of black and white. And, of course, because Obama being who he is, of course, that's always going to brew up and stir up some of those, you know, those things of the past. Because in years past, you never heard anything about, you know, being a problem with people going into the booths and voting and certain states now you want to have, you know, ID cards and proper ID to say who you are. You know, you should just be able to go up, give your name, verify your address, and go on and handle your business. But, you know, now things have changed, you know. And so, you know, and because of, you know, who President Obama is, now you see just the craziest stuff that's just happening, you know, in our country. I mean, stuff that you thought you would never see, you know.
Right.
40 and 50 years removed from, you know, civil rights. But now it looks like we're just going backwards. You know, it's like, are we reliving the 60s? Are we reliving, you know, in the 50s where everything is just, you know, so color-based, you know? And like I say, I would rather see the campaigns run on the issues and not on, oh, well, I'm not like him, or, oh, I'm not like him, I'm better than him, blah, 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 blah. It's not about that. You know, at the end of the day, you're representing the people in your country, and you want to do what's best by the people in your country, not an issue of I'm better than the next guy or so on and so forth. It should never be about that. It should just be about having your platform, know where you stand, you know what the issues are, know what your solutions are, you know, and be able to articulate and express those to the point where, you know, people are either going to agree with you or they're not. But it should never come down to an issue of, you know, I feel like a black or white thing or pointing fingers and throwing mud, because, you know, now that's what it looks like it's coming. And we've seen in the last couple of weeks that, you know, we say, you know, drastic situations bring out drastic measures. And you mm-hmm. see now all hands are on deck and it's like anything goes. People are saying whatever out of their mouths to make sure that, you know, they could perhaps persuade some people just off of what they say, you know, to vote one way. And a lot of it, 95% of the time, is nothing but lies and untruth. So, you know,
right.
Like I said, I wish that it could be run, you know, a proper way. But, you know, unfortunately, because of who the candidates are, at the end of the day, it's always going to come down to a black and white thing.
Can I stir it up a little bit more?
Yeah, go ahead, stir the pot.
What would make a voter, become angry enough or dissatisfied enough with their party to the point where they are being manipulated, where there's a certain amount of people who have a large amount of money can influence elections? At what point is, as a voter, do you say, look, you know, I don't think that, you know, the smaller percentage of people that have all this money should have this much influence in voting? It's like, you know, when the Supreme Court upheld, I forget the recent court decision, but, you know, they allowed Citizens United, but they upheld this ruling that, you know, people can put as much money as they want, and, you know, don't even have to say who they are, and, you know, a few people's opinion that have a lot of money are influencing a lot of the election. So, you know, at what point as a voter, I don't care what party you're at what point do you say, hey, you know, these few people shouldn't, you know, have such a big voice. You know, they're able to buy TV ads, they're able to buy radio ads, they're able to, you know, mobilize, you know, people to sway things in their direction. You know, dump money in the states that, you know, they don't even live in. And it's as voters, you know, we should be irritated to the point where we're saying, you know, I don't care what the Supreme Court says, I don't want these candidates say, you know, we don't want, you know, a small amount of people with a lot of money influencing the way this country goes. You know, at what point does the voter say, you know, enough is enough with this racial, you know, mess, with this money influence mess? You know, let's talk about the issues. Let's talk about what's best for our country, and let's talk about it in a way that everyone has in the country has a voice, and not just a few people with a lot of money. So, you know, that's another thing I'm asking. The question is, what will it take for the voters to finally say enough is enough? You know, Supreme Court. You know, you might be the Supreme Court, but you've lost your mind. You know, people going back to Jim Crow and you know, suppressing the vote, you know, people have lost their mind. At what point does America understand that, you know, what has made us great is that there's liberty and justice for all? You know, we should be the point where, you know, those things should irritate us to the point that we should be able to tell those few people who are manipulating the system to stop it. Just stop it. Quit it. Cut it out. It's a bunch of crap and it's not good for our country. Reb D.
Yeah, Pastor C, I mean, you bring up, you know, some good points there. And, you know, the first thing is that, you know, money is always going to be the greatest influence in any arena, you know, whether you're talking business, whether you're talking politics, whether you're talking church. I mean, you know, it's kind of like that old saying where, you know, money talks and everything else walks. And it's absolutely true. I mean, money is the greatest influence of people in this world. I mean, you know, I remember as a little kid, there was this wrestler named Ted DiBiase. They called him the Million Dollar Man. And his slogan was that everybody has a price. You know, everybody's got a price. You know, anybody and everybody can be bought for any amount of money. There's a price. Everybody has a price.
Right.
And, you know, it's sad to say, but, you know, it's true. You know, everybody has a price tag. You know, if people want to change government and influence government and, you know, control politics, if you got enough money, you can do it. I mean, you know, you can persuade people to vote this way and to vote that way and, you know, pay these politicians a certain amount of money and give them kickback if, you know, they get this bill passed or get this law passed that will help, you know, companies and corporations. And, you know, so, you know, it's sad that money has really blended in to politics. And I mean, at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. I mean, you look, you know, even at the candidates. I mean, you know, Mitt Romney, one of the main reasons why he was the Republican nominee was because he got money. I mean, he got money. And he got plenty of it. You know, and that's what it is. At the end of the day, it's not really about, you know, what candidate knows, you know, foreign policy and knows this and knows that. It's really what candidate can generate the most money to keep himself, you know, running a campaign the longest. And so most of the other ones, they drop out because at some point in time they say, you know what, I just don't have enough money. I can't compete. So, you know, that's really what it's all about. And, I mean, even when you look, when Obama started running, I mean, he was getting money from Oprah Winfrey and Will Smith and Ron James and all of these people. And that money was what really helped him to get over the top, you know. So, you know, it goes both ways. But, you know, like I say, it's very unfortunate that money controls politics. You know, these ads that they put on these TVs, all of that stuff costs money. If you don't have money, you can't compete. You can't be heard. So, you know, it's like the more money you have, the more power you have, the more influence you have, you know, the greater control you're going to have, you know, over your destiny and over your future. So, you know, but now, you know, we're down to, you know, President Obama and Governor Romney, and now it's, you know, the issue is not really money. Now it's just the issue of, you know, which way are people going to vote? Are they going to vote for the issues? Are they going to vote for the color of the skin? Are they just going to vote because one's a Democrat or one's a Republican? I mean, you know, so, you know, but at the end of the day, we just want people to vote for the person that they think will best represent what they believe in and will meet their needs. So,
And it's really crazy that, you know, it gets worse and worse every year by the amount of money that, you know, these folks throw into or put into influence,
and, you know, really begins to start taking away from people's, the importance of people's vote. If the Supreme Court can rule that you can put any amount of money in and not have to say who you are, it really begins to start muddying the waters, and people really begin to start getting to a place where they're not going to want to vote because they say my vote is not going to count because these cats with these billions of dollars are going to influence the outcome anyway. And so, you know, that's the thing that we should get to a point where the voters themselves, through laws, can overturn decisions by putting in constitutional amendments to get it where the money that comes in from large donors doesn't have the influence that messes up our democratic process. And I'm afraid that it's probably going to get too late and too far gone before a change is made, and our democratic process is going to be so skewed that you'll begin to start having unrest in many of the states who can't compete with this type of funding and type of money influence that comes in. It's just setting us up for division that really is not needed in our United States or in our country. Really?
Definitely. I mean, you know, I don't, you know, like I say, you know, tonight we just really want to encourage everybody to just go out there and, you know, let their voice be heard. You know, don't be influenced by any of these shenanigans and, you know, these desperate measures to try to get people to change and, you know, and try to influence people with just jargon and, you know, a bunch of malarkey, as they say. So, you know, we really want people to really, you know, to really be sound, to really, you know, get out there, know the issues, know what's going on. You know, and know that you're voting for a purpose. Like I said earlier, you know that you're voting for the past as well as for the future. You know, your voice will be heard loudly when we go out on Tuesdays to the polls and, you know, and really cast our votes and take a stand on the issues that we firmly believe in. You know, like I said, we don't want to go back to the past and, you know, relive all of that stuff that we had to overcome more than 50 years ago. You know, let the past be the past. You know, let the bygones be the bygones. But we need to just move forward, and we need to start, you know, doing things the right way. You know, and running clean campaigns, running on the issues, not running on money, not running on the color of the skin, not running on political affiliation, but running on the issues that at the end of the day will benefit everybody, whether you're a traditional
Absolutely.
Republican or whether, you know, you're a traditional Democrat and that's the way that you've always voted. At the end of the day, you know, it really doesn't matter. I mean, you're looking at the bigger picture, and the bigger picture is what's going to benefit everybody at the end of the day, regardless of who you are, regardless of where you live. You know, regardless of how you voted in the past, you know, that's what's going to be the issue, you know. And, of course, you know, like I said, we got so many, you know, different issues on the table. I mean, you know, we got, you know, the Planned Parenthood thing, which is going to be a very big issue, which could, you know, put, you know, could eliminate Planned Parenthood and put everything in the hands of government or and take away women's rights. I mean, we got the issue of, you know, same-sex unions and, you know, whether people agree with that or don't agree with that. I mean, there's just so many issues out on the table. But these issues, you know, will set precedence as to how things will function and operate in years to come. So, you know, we're talking about, you know, human rights, and we're talking about freedoms that, you know, we should be allowed to make and choices and decisions that we should be allowed to make. Because, you know, I look at it like this. Once we start taking away rights and freedoms of human beings, it's just a matter of time before they start telling you anything and everything, and next thing you know, they want to tell you that you can't do this and can't do that and blase this and blase that. So, you know, you have to be very, very careful. You know, just make sure that you understand what voting can do and what type of precedence it will set for years to come. So, you know, like I say, Pastor C, we just encouraging everybody to get out there, vote, let the voice be heard, Don't be deterred. Don't be fooled by all this crazy stuff that's going on. People getting letters in the mail. People getting phone calls saying you can vote from home and all this other stuff. No, get out to the poll, cash your vote, and get your little sticker that say I voted, because that will verify that you actually voted.
Absolutely. And you know, it's serious. You know, it's really a serious, because I believe the majority of people in the country, in the United States, are well intended, but I think it's a small minority of people that really don't care much about the majority of the people, and they want things to go according to how they want it to go, and they're willing to spend and say and do anything, even to the point of I would say they would want to even manipulate the candidates to the point where because of the amount of money that they pour in, that the candidates wouldn't be able to stand and actually run on a platform for the people, but would have to be at a point where they would have to pay back the donors the monies that you know, like favors that you know they've paid into, and so they have to pay them back, and you know that is just really unfortunate for you know our country. And you know I just believe that the majority of the people in the country just stand up and say, you know, this is a bunch of malarkey, this is a bunch of foolishness, and get it out and tell the people, you know, just like the states who had repeals of certain laws, appeals of people that, you know, didn't want collective bargaining or didn't want certain things that these elected officials who were basically bought were putting in place. And the people came together and they repealed these things. And they told them, you know, this might be okay for a few people, but this is not okay for our state. This is not okay for our people. And, you know, get this mess out of our face. You know, we're not going to stand for it. We're not going to allow this to happen, because the majority of us working together under, you know, our vote has the ability to be able to overturn these things. See, that's what I don't think people probably understand, is our vote in this country is so powerful that I don't care how much money one person has, they still only have one vote. And so the majority of the people who have a vote to stick together have the ability to change the way forward, the way this country can be run, or this country can be led in a direction where it's going to benefit the majority of the people. And you know, that's the message that has to get out. That's the message that has to get sunk into people's heads. You know, well, we're all doing well. The country is doing well. The country is doing better. And for a certain small group of people to try to negate that should be offensive to people. That should be just like, ooh, up in your face. That should be so offensive. It should be the point where I don't care what color you are. You know, I don't care, you know, where you come from. You're a citizen of this country, and everybody wants us to do well. We all need to get together for the best of the country, not just for a certain racial, social, economic, you know, people, but everyone needs to get well. And you saw that in the instance of Hurricane Sandy that you know, devastated the East Coast or the East Seaboard, where you know, people needed the assistance of government officials working together, bipartisan, you know, whether it was Republican or Democrat. You know, after Hurricane Sandy, you know, hit everybody, whether it was in the financial district, whether it was Staten Island, wherever it was, in New York, New Jersey, you know, there had to be a stopping point where you're saying, you know, whether Republican or Democrat, we got hit hard by this and we need to work together. That's what, you know, people are looking for. That's what they're looking for their government, working together across the line for the benefit of the people. That's what people ultimately want from government. You know, all this political partisanship, this wink and pat on the back and earmarks and pork for my country, a pork for my state, you know, at the end of the day, that does nobody any good except for a few of influence. And so this election you know, has gotten to the point where it's really ridiculous as far as the partisanship and the ability to get things done. But I think if you look at what happened with Hurricane Sandy, we see how government and our government officials are supposed to be behaving.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Pastor C. I mean, that's the way it's supposed to be. But unfortunately, the only time, you know, we see that is when, you know, there's a major crisis in our country. You know, I mean, it's sad that, you know, we only see that when, you know, there's a Hurricane Katrina, or we see that when there's a 9/11, or, you know, we see that when we have hurricanes and, you know, that destroy, you know, countries and, you know, people lose lives and, you know, all their possessions and things like that. But, you know, that behavior is supposed to be mimicked and seen all of the time. It shouldn't only be seen, oh, when we're in, you know, a desperate situation and, you know, this is time for us to really show who we are as Americans. I mean, we need to do that all the time. But, you know, like I say, nowadays, you know, it's like the rich are still getting rich and the poor are still poor, and the middle class is carrying all of the burden, you know. And eventually that middle class is not getting richer. Eventually they're just becoming more of the poor, you know.
Right.
So it's kind of like, you know, the middle class is paying all of the taxes, and those who make over, you know, $200,000 a year, whatever, you know, those are the ones that get the tax breaks.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's sad, but, you know, those are some of the issues that, you know, people really have problems with. You know, why is it that the rich people, you know, get a tax break for making all the money, and I'm making a little bit of money, and I'm being taxed more than somebody that's making 3, 4, 5 times more money than I am. So, you know, at the end of the day, you know, we really have to, you know, like you say, talk about, you know, justice and equality for all, you know, not just a certain amount of people, not just people that, you know, make a certain amount of money or, you know, things of that nature, but it has to be, you know, spread across the board where everybody is benefiting, you know, and the burden of, you know, keeping America up and running at its high capacity doesn't just fall on one group of financially based people, but that everybody is able to, you know, play a part and help to really shape and benefit this country so that we can, you know, prosper and grow and, you know, come out of debt and, you know, help bring forth jobs that will, you know, decrease the unemployment rate and, you know, help people with getting the proper health care, you know, not only for themselves, but for their family, their children, loved ones, whoever. You know,
right.
Those are the things that we really need to really, really start looking at. You know, and if that means, you know, we got to make cuts at the top, you know, then it needs to be done. But at the end of the day, it's for the good of the team, you know. And I feel like that the way society is set up now is that not everybody is sacrificing equally. You know, more people seem to be sacrificing, you know, all of their money, whereas some people aren't sacrificing any. You know, so that's where that mindset of, you know, the rich still are rich and the poor are still poor. So, but like I said, you know, we just, you know, have to let our voice be heard, go out there. If you want changes to be made, you know, Pastor, we have to make them. You know, we can't depend on anybody to make changes for us, because if we do that, then we'll be waiting forever for things to happen. You know, but like I say, you know, we have the power to make change. We have the power to make a difference. And so we're encouraging everybody to get out there and make it happen. Let your voice be heard, and let it be heard loud and clear, not with your mouth, but with you casting that ballot on Tuesday. That's how you allow your voice to be heard. So, you know, we're just encouraging everybody to get out there, make it happen. And this is, you know, the other thing is this is not just, you know, an election on the national scale, but it's on the local as well, you know.
Right.
So, you know, these choices that we make are going to affect us locally as well with our, you know, within our counties, within our neighborhoods, as well as within our state. So, you know, we really have to make sure that we get out there and vote for the changes that we want that will help us to get where we need to go.
Absolutely, I'm just stirring up all kinds of stuff tonight, so I'm just gonna keep it rolling. Whoever ends up being your elected official, we need to hold their feet to the fire. A lot of times, you know, once the election's over, people are so wore out because of the whole, year leading up to the election that they get wore out and they just, you know, kind of fade off the scene and don't want to hear about politics, don't want to get involved. But you can't stop getting involved, whoever is elected. And the major thing that you know, I see, Rev B, that needs to happen is whoever is elected needs to look at the global standing that the United States has fallen to in the area of technology, in the area of education, where we used to be the leading example, the country that graduated the most people from college, the country that led in science and technology, and now we are like we're on a slope falling backwards. And I blame that on our elected officials who have not been innovative, who have not been able to work across party lines, who have been so partisan that they would rather see the country suffer so that they can stay in power or be in power, that, you know, our innovation and our education ranking in the world has suffered tremendously. And people around the world are recognizing this, that, you know, we're just full of political crap. We're just full of political BS because, you know, we just want to be in power. Don't want to do anything. Don't want to work with anybody, even though a lot of things make sense to, you know, help educate our people, to free us to be a country that you know, is innovative and is creative. And is able to go to school and get higher education. But if it's not my idea coming from my political party, then, you know, I'm not going to let it go through. And that's just an asinine, ignorant way of being as far as a country, because it's killing us as far as our global standing in the world. And it's to a point where at some point, you know, we're going to get so far left behind that it's going to be, you know, embarrassing for us to exist as a country and have to depend on other countries to help our economy to grow and be stable, where we should be graduating more people from college and having more people in science and technology and educating our people to the point where we're leading in math, where we're leading in all of the areas that help an economy to grow and stay strong. We're just being ignorant and stubborn because of politics, because of your politics, because of my politics. The country is just going to hell in a handbasket. And, you know, we can't after the election just say, okay, that's enough, I'm tired, they won, or he won, or they won, that party won, I'm out of it, I'll wait for 4 years. You know, one of the disappointing things that we heard from the Republican Party when they lost the election in 2008 is that one of the highest thing on their agenda was to make sure that the president was not given a reelected another 4 years. Wasn't education, wasn't math, wasn't technology, wasn't making sure that we have more people going to college and graduating from college. It wasn't making sure that, you know, we're stabilizing, you know, our infrastructure and building, you know, better schools and better roads. It would make sure this guy doesn't get elected anymore. You know, it's just so asinine. It's just so counterproductive. It's so country killing that it seems like our voters in our country would say, you know, that's not the government we want. That's not how we want our government to work. We want our government to aid everybody, you know, all 50 states, and making sure that higher education is priority, that our infrastructure is priority, that we take back the lead and the edge in the global education leadership. And that's the way we should be moving forward. That's the things that we should be pushing forward. and tell them, you know, if you can't get with that, then you need to go home, and we'll elect people who can get that. And, you know, I'm afraid that, you know, these parties that are coming up with these platforms are just so narrow-minded that it's killing us as a country. I'm going to get off my soapbox, Rev B. Go ahead.
I mean, no, but you know, Pastor C, I mean, you're absolutely right, is that, you know, we're so stuck to, you know, and it's kind of like we're so, you know, how do I want to word it? We're so stuck on whether or not it's a Republican issue or a Democratic issue that we can't see the good in anything. But like you said, you know, Republicans can't get with an issue if it's a Democratic, if a Democrat proposed it, or Democrats can't get with it if it's a Republican that proposed it. But if it's an issue, if it's something where it's going to benefit the people as a whole, it shouldn't matter whether or not who presented it to the table. If it's a good issue, if you know it's something that's going to benefit everybody at the end of the day, then we should be willing to support it. But unfortunately, you know, we don't do that. We can't support nothing if it goes against, you know, what our political influence is, you know, what our political background is. And that's one of the major issues that we've had as to why a lot of these bills have not been passed that really would help to, you know, provide more jobs and, you know, bring down the unemployment rate and, you know, help education and all this other stuff. Never should be concerned about who brings forth, you know, the platform or whatever. It should just be about, if it's right, we're going to support it regardless of who, you know, presents it, you know. But like I say, you know, we're just so stuck in, you know, whether it's a Democratic or Republican issue that we feel like we can't support it unless it's, you know, brought up with somebody that we are affiliated with. So, you know, but we just really need to get off of that and really look at the bigger picture, which is, you know, making sure that if this is an issue that's going to bring about change and support everybody, then we must be willing to support it, whether it's on the local level, state level, or national level. You know, we have to support it, and we have to be willing to support it 100%. And, you know, that's always been my biggest fear, is that, you know, that if, you know, President Obama is reelected, that he's going to have even a much tougher time, because we know that those Republicans that are in the Senate and in the House of Representatives are not going to go for anything that he has to offer that's going to make our country that much better, because they're Republicans. He's a Democrat, and that's just how they get down. You know, it's just, you know, it's almost, I hate to say, Pastor C, I hate to use this analogy, but it's like a Blood and a Crip. You know, it don't matter. If you a Crip and I'm a Blood, I don't care what you say, that's just how it is, you know. And that
feels in the
core. And some of it is just based off of history. The only reason why I don't like you is because you a Blood. That's it. Well, I don't like you because you a Crip. It's not the fact that you don't like the person, you know, because you don't even know them. You just don't like them because of their association.
Exactly.
So, and that's why I said, you know, that's crazy. You know, if you're not gonna like somebody, you know, don't like them on something other than, oh, I just don't like what color you wear or or what set you claim. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
That's why when people talk about Democrats and Republicans, I'm like, it's nothing but a bunch of adult children who fussing over, you know, political affiliation. That's all that it is at the end of the day. There's no other issue other than Democrat and Republican, and that's not how it should be. It should just be about doing what's right for the good of the people.
And it gets so bad. Like I said, it's... Your analogy is right, and I was saying it's like the Hatfields and McCoys, the good old country boys. They're fighting over, they don't even know what they're fighting over, and all they know is you from this side and you from that side. And
right. So they just know, like, you know, oh well, my family didn't like you, so I guess I'm not supposed to like you.
Right.
You know.
It,
you know. Yeah. And that's pretty much what it is. I mean, that's just kind of like, you know, neighborhoods when we was growing up. You know, Palmer Park didn't get along with Seat Pleasant and blah, 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 this and that. You know, it's just stupid stuff. You know, but that's just how it is. You know, if you lived in a certain neighborhood, you know, you didn't mess with people from other neighborhoods. And that was just tradition. It's just traditionalism. That's all it is. There's nothing else to it. You know, that's just the way it is, and folks don't want to change that. So that's, you know, that's what they're going with. You know, I don't want to fool with them because they live in this neighborhood or this is who they associate with. You know, we've really got to get beyond that.
Absolutely, and you know, it was, like you said, it was southeast against northeast, northwest against southwest, you know. But in the end of the day, you know, Washington, D.C. in the 80s was the Myrtle capital of the country, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And, the people that was getting murdered was black folk.
That's it. That was all that was getting murdered in the mid-80s, from like 85 to about like 88, 89. I mean, that's all that was getting killed. You know, there's nothing but black people. So many unsolved homicides year by year. I mean, we would have more homicides in 1 month than we would have days in the month.
In 1 week, exactly.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. Yeah, unbelievable.
And what did it solve? What did it solve? It was a lot more black people in jail, a lot more black people in the graveyard. You know, more children, black children left fatherless or motherless. You know, what did it solve? Because you was from south and I was from northeast. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. And so, you know, I take that connotation and say, you know, we're like, you know, we used to be the number one country that graduated people from college, and now we're somewhere, I think, in, I don't even know. I saw the statistic last month. I think it's like 20th or lower. As far as graduating people, it might be lower than graduating people from college. We used to be number one. That means that we invested energy in helping our people to get to college and educating them and turning out, you know, the highest level of young people that have the skills and the talent to take our country higher. But now it seems like, you know, we're just so mired down that I could care less about our kids. I can care less about our country. As long as I can say I'm in power or I'm an elected official, I'm cool. But we need to understand that the elected officials shouldn't be the ones that are determining, you know, direction of our country. They should be making it easier for our people, our citizens, to get education, to be able to come up with innovation and come up with new ideas for them to be able to bring about those ideas to take our country to the next level. I think we're stagnant in going down because we are not helping the people. We're not helping the people. And you know, the people need to wake up, man. We need to smack somebody around and smack them in or out of office to say, hey, you know, this is what we're sending you there for. We're not sending you there to fuss and get into gridlock with each other. We're sending you there to make it easier for folks to get an education, to become entrepreneurs, become, you know, small business owners, to become, you know, the innovators of the next technology boom or the next energy boom. You know, we need to get people that opportunity, and not just for a few people, but for everybody, because when everybody's involved, that's how much faster and better we can ride. But to sit there and get bogged down in partisan politics, it's just killing us as far as our standing, you know, in our global economy. And it's time, I believe, for people to get out, to vote, and then not only vote, but to hold the people who you voted for feet to the fire. To say, hey, in your campaign, you said you were for everybody. Why are you just going over here to the black neighborhood? Or why are you just going over here to the white neighborhood? Or why haven't you visited the Hispanic or the Latino neighborhood? Why haven't you visited the Mexican neighborhood? You don't think we need to go to college? You don't think we need education? You don't think we need to have the bureaucracy cleared up? can hold their feet to the fire. And what I mean hold their feet to the fire is every day make sure that they're going to see your face. If they're not doing the right thing, they're going to see your face. They're going to hear your voice if they're not doing the right thing. And that's how we're going to make a change, Rev B, is everybody just can't wait for 4 years to come by. But when the 4 years come by, we need to be riding them and in their face for the whole 4 years so they know that at the end of that 4 years or however long their political appointment is, if they're not, you know, towing the line or and doing what's expedient for everybody, that they're going to get run out of town.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, we gotta stay on top of our politicians, our leaders, and our communities and everything. I mean, you know, it shouldn't be that, you know, the only time we pay attention to them is when it's an election year. But, you know, we got to stay on them from get-go. Know what the issues are, know how they're voting, know what's going on. I mean, you know, we really have to really stay on top of them, because if we don't, you know, we're just going to be in a world of trouble. You know, we're just setting ourselves up for failure. You know, you can't wait every 2 years or every 4 years to try to make, you know, things happen. But, you know, we got to get on our political leaders right away, you know, and be like, hey, we've been watching your progress for the last couple of years, and, you know, we have questions or we have issues or we wonder why you're not voting on this or voting on that. You know, those are things that, you know, you definitely need, you know, to be aware of and to know what's going on, because if you don't, you know, these politicians can get in office and make you all these promises before they got there. When they get in there, they forget all about you. Left at a standstill trying to think like, well, you know, I really was depending on so-and-so to help me out and, you know, so-and-so to, you know, to do a lot for me. But he got up in there, she got up in there, and they didn't look out for a brother, you know. So, you know, we gotta make sure that we stay on top of our political officials and make sure that, you know, we monitor what they're doing. I mean, all the time, because you definitely don't just want to make this a 2 year or 4 year occasion, but you want to make sure that, you know, you really are on top of what, you know, our political leaders are doing, because at the end of the day, we have to hold them responsible, you know, for what they're doing as political leaders. And, you know, we just can't put anybody in there, but, you know, we got to put people in there that we know are going to benefit and look out for us at the end of the day.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know, I know I've been on my soapbox for about an hour, Rev B. I appreciate you being with me.
No problem.
But it gets to a point where you're just tired of the dysfunction of government, you know, in the, you know, the, I would say the ability for, you know, political appointees or those that have been elected or those that are running for election, their callous attitude toward the voter is, you know, they feel like they can just tell us anything. And we're supposed to believe it and go for the okie-dokie. It's like sometimes they just lie right to your face and tell you they lying to your face and tell you, you know, I don't care. I was going to tell you a lie, because there are going to be some folks that are going to believe it, you know. And, you know, that's what really, you know, gets to people sometimes. Just lie right to your face. Lie. No, it's not true, but they're going to say it anyway because they believe there's one or two folk out there who they can swing their vote to. Just by telling that lie. What's up with the lying politician?
You know, I think sometimes, you know, the politician trying to, you know, pull the sheepskin over the wolves or whatever, but it's not happening. I think, you know, sometimes they, you know, really downplay the intelligence of voters and try to say all of this stuff that they know is not true, but hoping that they'll get some gullible person to really buy in and believe into what they're saying. But like I tell everybody, make sure that you know the facts. Make sure you go back and really know what's going on. I mean, you know, just like the other day I was reading something about some comments that Governor Romney made about Barack Obama shutting down the Chevy plants, and they were going overseas to Japan to make Jeep trucks and all this other stuff. And it was nothing but a bunch of lies. And it was so bad that even the vice president of General Motors had to come out and say, this is lies. You know, this is lies. This is not true. This is not what's going on. And, you know, and like I said, you know, we really, really have to know these issues. Because if you don't, you know, these political people, they're going to get out here and say whatever they want to and hope that they can just persuade you off of a bunch of lies. So, you know, you got to know the truth and know the facts and know the issues for yourself. Because if you don't, you know, you can easily be persuaded and vote off of something that is not the truth. So, you know, you got to be very careful at the end of the day to make sure that you know the issues, know what the truth is, you know the difference between what's a lie and what's not, you know. So, you know, but don't be fooled by anything, because these politicians, they will literally sell their soul to the devil to get your vote at the end of the day.
Oh, my goodness. And I call it, they're going to hoodwink and bamboozle you.
That's right. That's right.
That's the nature of a politician, and we're going to talk a little bit about you know, the character when we come back from break. But it's like a politician, that's the nature of them, that they'll sell their soul to the devil. They'll tell you anything so long as they can get elected. They'll change their colors, they'll become a comedian, they'll tell somebody in this city what they want to hear, and then go, you know, 20 miles down the road and tell somebody else the opposite of what they told somebody else in that city. And, you know, it comes down to character. And so, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about that when we come back from break. But if you want to be a part of this conversation, you can dial in at 347-324-5569. That's 347-324-5569. And we're going to take about a two-minute break, and we'll be right back.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And He loves you.
For the next 4 years. So that's what we've been talking about tonight. Been a little little passionate about it, and I think we should all be passionate about our politics, and we should definitely encourage each other to participate in the politics, in the process, because it may be flawed as it is, but I believe that it is the greatest process, the democratic process on the face of the earth. So that the majority of people's ideas or the majority of people's wishes can be addressed through voting and through implementing laws in the land so that there can be, I would call, wellness experience in the majority of the land which these officials have been elected to govern. But we've been talking about some of the problems with the process and some of the things that are frustrating. But please, ma'am, please, sir, don't let any of the things that we're talking about tonight deter you from getting out and exercising your vote and participating in the political process. It's like, you know, we said earlier, it might be flawed, but it's still, I believe, the best system in the world for your voice to be heard. And so we ask you, please, ma'am, please, sir, participate in the process because your vote does make a difference and it does need to be counted, it does need to be cast, and many people have sacrificed many things in order for you to be able to vote and have your voice heard in the process. Red B?
Definitely. We're encouraging everybody to get out there, definitely let your votes be heard, and like we said in the first hour, you know, not only are you voting for yourself, but you're voting, you know, for the people in the past who did not have a right to vote. And most importantly, you're voting for the future, you know, for your kids and your grandchildren and great-grandchildren. So you definitely want to make sure that, you know, you get out there and let your voice be heard, you know. It doesn't take a whole lot of screaming and hollering and all that to cast your vote, but, you know, casting your vote will be the best way to allow your voice to be heard. So we're just encouraging everybody to get out there and let your voice be heard and to make it happen. Because you know what? We can't expect changes to be made unless we get out there and we make them happen. So, you know, we don't have a right to complain or fuss or anything if we have not voted. So please get out there and cast that vote. And you know people are going to have a difficult time getting out. You know, do some carpool, do whatever. We know the lines are probably going to be very long, but you know what? It's well worth the wait. It's something that we only do every couple of years. So, you know, if you need to make a day of it, then make a day of it. I mean, you know, but remember, this is one of the most important elections that we have ever had as a country. So we're encouraging folks to get out there and definitely make sure that their voice is heard at the end of the day.
Absolutely, and you know we want to segue and swing in a little different mode as far as you know what we think about is when we get back on my soapbox, maybe what do we think about character as being a quality for
presidential candidate or a local candidate? What do we think about character? Do we think character is a major factor when we elect an official, or is that just a variable that you know really doesn't you know swing or sway us one way or the other? I'm under the opinion that character is a good window into how a person will govern. I don't know about you, Red B, but I think many times a character guy or woman would make the tough decisions based upon what they believe is right, not based upon what is popular. What do you think about that, Red B?
Well, I mean, I wish I could say that was true, you know, but you know, I think the majority of the time, you know, we go with the crowd. You know, we go with you know, with the popularity. I mean, we do stuff not based on what we know is right, but we do based on what is popular, what the consensus says, what the crowd says. So, you know, we sacrifice doing what's right for going with what the crowd says. It was kind of like, you know, remember in the Bible, you know, when they had Barabbas and they had Jesus, Pilate was like, I know what I need to do, but the crowd is saying otherwise, so I'm going to go with what the crowd says. You know, and that's kind of like, you know, the way politicians were. And, of course, we know Pilate was, you know, he was the governor. You know, he was the leader.
Right.
You know,
right.
So he was influenced by the crowd, you know. So, you know, I wish that a lot of the politicians would go with the issues, but a lot of times they don't. They really just more so go with what the crowd says. We're doing what's right, you know, doing what will please the people at the end of the day. But that's not really what it's about. It's really about doing what's right and making sure that, you know, we do what's going to benefit everybody and not just doing this as a popularity contest.
Let me ask you about President Lyndon Johnson, the one who signed into law the Voter Act. He was also a main figure in the Civil War. Civil Rights signing into law. What type of if you would look at this fellow, what type of character would it take for him to sign this into law as president that would outlaw discriminatory voting practices?
It's saying that some of the southern states after the Civil War that made it where they would have to take literacy tests, prerequisites to vote. What kind of person would have to look at the makeup of the majority of the country in the face of, you know, the segregated or the racial motivated South and say, this is best for our country. And, you know, this might be political suicide, but I'm going to sign this Voting Rights Act into law in spite of the backlash that's going to come. You know, in 1965, it was vicious. It was vicious, but he signed it into law. What type of character, President Johnson at that time, what type of character would you say he had when he did it?
Well, I mean, you know, you got to look at, you know, 1965. I mean, there was a lot going on. I mean, that was kind of the height of the Silver Spring, I mean, Civil Rights Movement. And, of course, you know, President Kennedy was assassinated, and that was kind of how Lyndon Johnson came into office. I mean, you know, we had a whole lot going on. You know, Martin Luther King was, you know, at the peak of his Civil Rights Movement. There were a lot of sit-ins going on. You know, you had the Little Rock A's who wanted to integrate, you know, Central High School. I mean, you had, you know, James Meredith, who wanted to integrate the University of Mississippi. I mean, you just had so many different things going on at this time. Of course, you were dealing with Governor Wallace in the state of Alabama.
Right.
And, I mean, it was just very chaotic during that time. And so for somebody such as, you know, President Johnson to step up to the plate and say, you know, this is what I want to happen, you know, and, you know, and for, you know, Congress to go with it, you know, to make that amendment, you know, and allow, you know, the Voting Right, you know, the Voting Right Act for minorities to go into place where everybody would be able to vote, you know, I think really spoke volumes, especially when you think of, you know, the times that were going on. You know, it was a very important time in American history. I mean, you know, we were, you know, a few years away from going into the Vietnam War. I mean, so it was a lot going on in the 60s. especially during that time. So, you know, for him, you know, I look at him as a trailblazer. I look at him, you know, as a very socially conscious person where he was aware of how this, you know, decisions would really change America. And, you know, so there was a lot that was, you know, like I say, that was going on. But, you know, he stood. You know, he stood for what he believed in. He wasn't influenced, you know, and, you know, and I'm sure there were many, you know, people in the South, whether they were Klan members or traditional, you know, you know, liberalists who just said, you know, this is not what we believe in and this is not what we want. But you know what? He stood strong in what he believed. And sometimes that's what you have to do. You know, you have to know what is right. And even when it's not, you know, the most popular decision, Pastor C, you still have to say at the end of the day, this is the right decision. And this decision is what's going, you know, to benefit everybody at the end of the day. So, you know, I believe that, you know, he really, you know, made a difference. And I think he, you know, stood for what he believed in, which said that he had that boldness, you know, and I think he was firm that, you know, he wouldn't back down from what he believed in or be persuaded or any of those things. So, you know, I, you know, like I say, and if it wasn't for him and for those members of Congress voting that through, you know, who is to say what type of, condition America would be in?
Do you think that the 1964 Civil Rights Act law that he signed into law prior to the Voting Rights Act of 65, do you think that when he you know he signed that Civil Rights Act in 1964, where, you know, it gave all citizens equal protection under the law, under the 14th Amendment. Do you think that decision helped him propel him to move forward with the Voting Rights Act, just to have that gut feeling as a president? With character or with integrity, to say, you know, I got to govern all of the people, not just.
You think about what was going on during that time. Of course, you had, you know, the Civil Rights Act. Of course, you had the Voting Rights Act. And of course, I think like in 1963, 1964, you had the separate but equal that was overturned,
right,
which allowed the schools to be, you know, desegregated and integrated. So, I mean, it was just kind of like you saw the hand moving and the change coming. So it just kind of was like all just working out with, you know, it was enough of that racism and enough of people having to lose their lives to, you know, to get just fair and equal treatment. You know, let us go to school with who we want to go to school with, not, you know, no more segregation, no more color this and whites only and none of that. And of course, you know, the whole Civil Rights Act, and then of course, you know, moved in, you know, to, you know, just the voting right, and of course later, it, you know, voting rights for women. And I mean, it, you know, all of that was just, you know, the 60s was just a time of change. So, you know, it was kind of like once that first thing was overturned, and it was just a matter of time where you just started seeing the hand moving and this change just really started to come about. So, you know, like I say, the 60s was definitely a time of change. It was kind of like the coming out of the old traditionalism and the old segregation and moving into integration and moving into, you know, peace and equality for all. And, you know, and then, you know, like, you know, the late 60s, early 90s was love movement where everybody was just, you know, just free and, you know, was anti- whatever, you know. And so it was a good time. So it was a time of transition. So I mean, it was just a great thing, you know. You just setting precedent. So one thing happened, and the next thing happened, and then the next thing happened.
These presidents,
of course, you know,
President Kennedy, President Johnson, the you know, assassination of the Kennedy boys. I'm not boys. Mm-hmm. The Kennedy and brothers. Assassination of Dr. King. You know, a lot of people say that if these fellas, you know, had integrity and had the ability to stand up against, you know, what wasn't right and paid a price with their life. And if you have to go back and reflect on all the people that were naysayers that said, you know, that wasn't right. You know, and then you fast forward to 2008, where the United States elected their first president of color, African-American president, to see that a country has come from that to this.
Hello? Yeah, I think I can barely. Can I hear you now? Hello, can I? Okay, I got you. All right.
Yeah, what I was saying is that the integrity guys, integrity presidents, are the ones that are going to govern for the whole people, everybody,
mm-hmm.
Or the white. Just to say that because you're black or you're white. Or because you don't agree that as a president, I believe that everybody's had the right, that I'm not going to make that decision. I believe that a president has to govern for the whole country and not just for a percentage of the country. And I believe that's what Kennedy, that's what Johnson, I believe that that's what they stood for when they were making these decisions. And, you know, again, we fast forward to 2008. And we see a president, African American president, that says a lot about our country. You know, a lot of people can say something about our country, but it says a lot about our country that we are willing to move forward as long as the person has integrity that wants to govern the whole country and not just part of the country or a segment of the country. And I think that's again what we're looking at, you know, in this election cycle. Is who do we believe is going to be looking out for the majority of the country and not just for a small segment or a part of the country? Grab me.
Yeah, you know, one thing, you say, you know, you gotta know the issues. Gotta know, you know, who's about governing the whole country and not just a selected few. Who's talking bad about the 47%? You know, all of those things. I mean, the issues are there.
Right.
The issues are there. So, you know, you have to know, like, who at the end of the day is going to benefit not only me, but, you know, take care of us for the next 4 years until, you know, we reelect another, you know, president or, you know, another representative or another councilman or whoever. You know, we have to look at those issues and say who really has my interest, my best interest at the end of the day. So, you know, we have to make sure that we know exactly who we want. And we want to have people in office that are people of integrity, people that can be trusted, people that are not going to be bribed or people that are not going to be swindled and persuaded by money or kickbacks or, you know, favors or any of that stuff, because we see that all the time. We see it on every single level of government.
Exactly.
I mean, we see it with mayors, and we see it with councilmen. I mean, we see it all the time. So, you know, we have to make sure that we are supporting people that we know are going to best represent us and have our best interest at the end of the day. Because if not, then, you know, past to see it all just becomes a mockery. It just all becomes for show. You know,
right. Oh,
we get out and vote and da 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 da. But at the end of the day, it's kind of like, you know, are we concerned with the issues? Or are we just putting people in office because that's just what we want to do? So, you know, I'm encouraging people to really know who your candidates are, know their history, know their background, know who they associate with. You know, do they have a record of good rapport? You know, are they hanging out with the right people? Are they shaking hands and rubbing elbows with the right people. I mean, you know, this stuff really comes into play because you just don't want to put anybody in office that you think
mm-hmm.
is going to benefit you and you have no idea. So, you know, like you say, integrity is very key. Integrity is very key. You want to make sure, you know, that you're putting people in office that are going to have, you know, your best interest at the end of the day. This is not a popularity contest. This
right.
is not, you know, let me give my buddy the hook up or blah, 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 blah. None of that. Do what's best for you at the end of the day and know who has your best interest at the end of the day. That's really all that matters, you know. So,
I'm looking for a candidate. I'm looking for a leader that is not always going to be looking for political cover. In other words, you know, they're going to do what's right, even if it's going to cost them the next election. Is that something that voters are really looking for? That someone's going to get in office? I'm going to do what's right, even if it's going to cost me the next election. I'm going to do what's right. Are we looking for candidates like that, or are we looking at people that are going to, you know, try to placate or you know, satisfy wherever they go? Because you're never going to be 100% popular, you know. Everybody, 100% people are not going to agree with. You know, I know that as a pastor, I know that everybody in the congregation is not going to agree with what I say all the time and some of the decisions that are made. But you can't pastor from the position of trying to please. You have to trying to please people. You have to pastor from the position of doing what, you know, what God wants you to do. You know, that's what's going to bring us to the bottom of this hour, is we're gonna start a conversation. It's probably going to get real hot about faith and politics. So we're gonna leave out tonight. It's going to be a smoker. But Red B, what do you think about a candidate that doesn't mind making the right decision, even though it's going to cost him or her the next election?
Well, that issue is kind of on the table right now when we talk about, you know, the whole issue of, you know, the joint same-sex union. That has been an issue that
Correct.
Has been on the table, you know. And, you know, and for a lot of people, that has been the determining factor as to whether they vote one way or the other. There are no other issues that they're more concerned with than this issue of same-sex marriage.
Right.
And that has a lot to do with faith and folks' spiritual beliefs. You know, people are saying, I don't believe that a man should be with another man or a woman should be with another woman, and it be recognized and it be accepted, you know, by the government. So, you know, so people really have an issue with that. And a lot of people really had an issue about when Obama came out and, you know, he said his spiel and said his piece, and it was kind of like people in the black community were in an uproar. You know,
right.
I can't believe he said this. I can't believe he did this. I can't believe he came out and, you know, was in support of this and blah, 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 blah. You know, but when you talk faith and you talk politics, you know, of course, you know, it's kind of like oil and water a little bit. It's kind of like separation of church and government. But,
right.
you know, in anything, you have to have enough faith within you to say that I trust that God will give me insight and wisdom and discernment to vote for the people that will best interest me at the end of the day. So, you know, voting is an act of faith. Because we never really know who we're voting for.
That's right.
We just see what the person is representing. We only see that one side of them, that one side that they want you to see. So, you know, we just have to really trust God, and ultimately, you know, we put our faith in politicians and whatever, but we should not put all of our faith in politicians.
That's right.
At the end of the day, we still need, you know, to learn and just lean and depend on God and know that God will meet our every need. And I can truly say that. I said, regardless of who's in office, whether it's been a Democrat or Republican, it doesn't matter, because I still know that my help comes from the Lord. So, you know, I don't have to worry about decisions that are made. You know, I try to vote for the best person possible. But even if they fail, it's okay because I'm not putting all of my faith and trust in them. I'm putting all of my faith and trust in God. And that's the one thing that we have to do because I remember 4 years ago, people were like, oh, yes, we want to get a black president and he's going to make changes and
right.
We're going to have this and we're going to have that and we're going to do this and we're going to do that. No, he can't do all of that. He's one man.
Man.
He can't take me to your personal situation. He has to do what's best for the country. You know, but if you want to, if you need personal assistance, you know what I'm saying, Pastor C?
Right.
You need to call on a higher source.
There
you go. You can't depend on man, you know, to help you out of your situation. You have to call on a greater and a much higher source, and we know that's Jesus Christ. So, you know, but like you say, you know, faith in politics. I mean, that's always going to be, you know, be an issue. You know, at what point does your faith stop and politics takes over, or vice versa? But you know, ultimately, you know, we put all of our trust and faith in the Lord Jesus. But you know, we still want God to put the best people in office that's going to represent us, and that's when we ask for insight and wisdom, and we have to be prayerful. You know, pray while you're up in that voting booth. You're like, Lord, give me insight to put the right person up in here that's going to do your will. You know what I'm saying? And we don't always do that. But we should learn to pray before we do anything and everything. It's okay to pray. You know, that God will give you insight as who to vote for, you know, so give you insight as to what issues to vote on or what issues not to vote on. So, you know, but like I say, it's always, you know, kind of a touch and go thing when you talk politics.
Well, we're going to take a break and we're going to finish up in grand style. But, Red B, we're going to ask you once we come off the break to let the people know what's going on, how to get in touch with us, and we're going to be back in about 2 minutes.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? He loves you.
Politics of it all. We've been talking about the upcoming elections and all the politics that's been involved, and talking about some of the things that we are passionate about, some of the things that we would like to see changed, some of the things that we encourage people to do. But ultimately, we're still encouraging everyone to go out and vote this coming Tuesday if you haven't already done early voting. and make your voice known. A lot of things are flawed with the system, but we believe it is the best system on the planet, and that we as citizens of the United States of America need to participate in the process of electing officials that will help govern our country so that our union can remain strong and prosper. Reb B, we just thank God for an outstanding conversation. You let people know how they can tune in and catch it if they haven't caught all of it.
Oh, definitely. First and foremost, if anybody wants to, you know, chime in tonight, of course, don't forget the number here is 347-324-5569. And also, you can hit us up on Facebook and you can hit us up on Twitter. Facebook is Pastors Aid, that's Pastors with an S, A-I-D. And then, of course, you can hit us up on Twitter at PACDC316. And, of course, you know, we encourage everybody that we do have a lot going on. And, of course, if you miss any of tonight's show, that approximately about 9:15 this evening, you'll be able to go back and listen to not only tonight's show, but all of our past episodes in their entirety. That includes There's Nothing New Under the Sun, with it, which is our weekly Bible study that's held every Thursday night at 8 p.m. at the Heart of God Baptist Church. And, of course, you'll be able to go back and listen to the three-night fall revival that we had about 2 weeks ago. So each night service is on there as well. But to get to that, just simply log into blogtalkradio.com/ Pastor's Aid, and that'll take you to our homepage. And just scroll down to the on-demand portion of the homepage, and there you will see everything that you need as far as you know, Pastor's Aid CDC every Friday and Sunday. There's Nothing New Under the Sun weekly Bible study on Thursday, and of course the three-night fall revival that we had 2 weeks ago. And of course, don't forget that if you're in this area and you want to come out to the T-Nuts, which is There's Nothing New Under the Sun. Don't forget, that's held every Thursday starting at 7. From 7 to 8, we have fellowship and dinner. And then at 8 o'clock, from 8 till about 9, we have our interactive Bible study. And, of course, that's held at the Heart of God Baptist Church, 7100 Chesapeake Road, Suites 205 and 206, Landover Hills, Maryland, which is right off of Annapolis Road 450. Which you can hit it off of 495, the Beltway, or you can hit it off of 295, BW Parkway. So either way, you can get in touch. It's kind of centrally located is what I like to say. And we're there every Thursday. And, of course, if you're not able to get there, you can always call in. And the same number is 347-324-5569. Of course, you can listen, or if you want to, you want to chime in and ask some questions or whatever, you know, you just press 1 to key yourself in. And the good thing is we're also recording those as well. So every week we'll have the show posted on YouTube. So if you want to go in and log into YouTube, just type in T-Nuts, and you'll be able to see the live show on tape. And if you have any questions, you can always inbox it, and someone will get back to you. Or if you want to just leave a comment and say how much you enjoyed the show, we appreciate the feedback. And don't forget, the pilot episode is on YouTube now. Just simply go type in T-Nuts, which is T-T, right? There's Nothing New on, so it'll be T-N-N-U-T-S. I think I got it right there, T-Nuts. Just type it in, and you'll see the pilot episode on there as well. And don't forget, for the month of November, Pastor C, we will be doing our monthly giveaway, which will be not this upcoming weekend, but the following weekend, which will be November the 17th, and we'll be out there from 11 to 3. And, of course, that is the Saturday before leading up to Thanksgiving, and we're asking everybody, especially this time around, you know, while the weather's changing and it really starting to get cold really fast, we're asking everybody to bring out any types of stuff mm-hmm. that will help people get through the cold months, coats, jackets, scarves, gloves,
yep.
boots,
yep.
any type of covering, you know, quilts, blankets, sleeping bags, just anything that will help people to get through, you know, these cold winter months. We're asking everybody to, you know, try to bring that out. You know, it doesn't have to be new, but make sure that it is in, you know, pretty decent condition where folks will be able to use that. So we definitely encouraging everybody to come on out November the 17th and definitely look forward to making that happen. We want this to, you know, definitely be a special special monthly giveaway since this is leading into the holiday season.
Absolutely, and we definitely are looking out in our communities, and we're challenging, again, all ministries to identify a community, identify a people who during this time of year are in need of, we like to do holiday baskets, and we've identified some folks at Chesapeake Landing, an apartment complex adjacent to our worship center. Some folk in there that we've identified and they want and are in need of Thanksgiving baskets, and we're going to follow up with Christmas baskets and the like. And they need prayer, or they need a word. We're going to be taking CDs, DVDs over there. That's what we're challenging every ministry to do. Identify a group of people that you can bless. You don't have to reinvent the wheel if you want to, you know, team up like Heart of God and New Birth are teaming up to, you know, identify, you know, whether it's folks in your congregation or folks in your adjacent community, to identify, you know, people that are needed. And we've done at Pastors Aid CDC, and we're challenging other ministries to do the same thing during this holiday season and continue right on through the new year. So that's what we're going to be doing, gathering these baskets the next couple weeks and going over into the community and being a blessing to someone. Second Thursdays of every month, my brother's keeper will be live at There's Nothing New on the Sunday TNS Bible Study. So we're looking forward to them coming and playing. We're just excited about these young men. They have an awesome sound, and we just love to hear them every time we get a chance. And so this will be the first night that they're going to be able to get on YouTube, and you'll see Red B out there holding it down. Many of you heard him on the last night of Revival, and he's an awesome guy, and I'm really proud of him. Thank the Lord for him. I just love to see him minister, and I get excited every time I think about them coming and doing their thing. Rev B?
Yeah, definitely. We appreciate the Heart of God for having us over, and of course, you know, that's our time to come every second Thursday in the month. So we're excited about that. This will be our third time over there for the so There's Nothing New Under the Sun Bible study. So we're excited about that. And of course, you know, we just always thank you all for just opening up your doors and letting us come and minister and just doing our thing. And of course, you know, big shout out to my brother's keeper. Amen.
Yeah.
Thing again today, and so we always are thankful for them. I say my brother's keeper, we never get a day off. But I tell you what, you know, the brothers, you know, they love doing the same, you know, music, you know, so it just brings us closer together. And of course, you know, it's just a form of worship and praise. So, you know, we just thank God for that. And of course, you know, Pastor C, we just thank God for you and thank God, you know, for the very fine people at the Heart of God Baptist Church. And I tell people, if you ever really want to see some genuine, down-home, just loving Christian folks, just check out, you know, the people at Heart of God, you know, because they are definitely just some real, genuine people, you know. Ain't nothing fake or phony about them. They just love to do what they do, and that is just to open up their hearts and worship and fellowship, and just, they're just about the business of ministry, and that's what it should be about. It's just about the business of ministry. So, you know, big shout out to you, Pastor C and First Lady C and your entire family, and of course, you know, your church family, and just all of the great, you know, great works that you all continue to do. And like I say, I'm just glad to just be in the mix, you know. So it has really helped my ministry and has really helped me to grow. And so, you know, I just thank God for, you know, just allowing me and you to cross paths as well. So, you know, I tell you, it's just been a great experience just doing what we're doing every week, you know. I say, you know, so like I say, some days I be tired, but you know what? I say, I'm gonna get on this radio and I'm gonna do my thing, you know. And so, you know, but it's just always a blessing to be on the air, because, like you say, we don't even know how many lives we touched, but I figure we have 14,000 right now, so I think we're doing okay. So we just thank God, you know, for that ministry that He has given us to, you know, touch people's lives, not only in the state of Maryland, but all over this country, and most importantly, all over this world. I mean, we had one listener who called in from New Mexico like a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
So, you know, that just lets you know that, you know, this thing has just gone global, you know. And so we just thank God for that. We really do.
And you know, with this basket, identifying a group of people, a community, and you know, this basket challenge of ministry is what we're going to be pushing the rest of the year. Is it doesn't have to be just Thanksgiving and Christmas. Identify a group of people that you can bless. You know, there's a lot of groups of families, and there's a lot of organizations that are giving out baskets. So identify a group that you can partner with, you know, just like I said, with Heart of God and His Birth, and go and be a blessing to these people, you know. And you'll be surprised how much of a blessing you will receive in return. Where you make the effort, and that really doesn't take a lot of effort. You know, we went over to the Chesapeake Landing management office and say, hey, is there anybody in the apartment complex that, you know, is in need? And they just popped up, yes, right away. This person, this elderly person, this group, you know, and they just identified them. And they were so amazed that, you know, we would come over there and just ask, Rev. B. You know, it was just like, okay, you know, it's like no one's ever just came over and asked, you know, the apartment complex, can you identify people? And they said yes. And so, you know, that's what we need to start doing, you know. We really start need to make this thing put some feet to this thing. You know what I'm saying, Red B?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, ain't no point in having no pot on the stove if you ain't got no heat up under it. You know what I'm saying? You know, you can fix it up and jazz it up all you want, but if you ain't got no heat up under that pot, it ain't going to do nothing, you know. And that's kind of the way ministry has become. We got good intentions. We got good presentation, but we ain't got no heat under the pot. And if you don't have any heat under the pot, then things are not going to get done. And, of course, you know, you got to get out there and you got to generate that fire and generate that heat, you know, and people in the community and all of those different things, because, you know, we can put up a good presentation all we want, but if there's no fire, there's no spark, you know, there's no willingness to want to go out and to make those changes, then, you know, all it is just, you know, just a bunch of talk at the end of the day. And it's just so simple. I mean, it's just simple things of just, you know, especially churches that are in communities, you know, just go to apartment complexes or go to wherever you need to go and just be like, do you know anybody that's in need?
That's what I'm saying.
Clothes or need a Thanksgiving basket or whatever, you know. And like they say, I mean, a Thanksgiving basket is nothing, you know. I mean, you can get a turkey, you know, they some places giving away turkeys.
Exactly.
And all of that stuff, and you're good. You know, you ain't got to give them everything, but at least give them enough to get started to have a decent, you know, a decent Thanksgiving meal. And that's what it's all about, is just you know, bringing some sunshine and bringing some light into people's lives who, you know, somehow or another may thought that, you know, they wouldn't have a Thanksgiving and didn't have enough, you know, to be able to have a meal and all of these things. So, you know, so it's just good work. You know, that is good outreaching right there, you know, when you reach out into your communities and, you know, and to let people know that, hey, we're willing to help folks who don't have anything for the holiday season. That's definitely, you know, what it's all about. And that's how we bring about change. But most importantly, Pastor C, that is how we bring back respectability into, you know, the churches and
good
spiritual organizations. That's how you bring the respect back when you open up your doors and say, hey, we're willing to help. Because, you know, the church doors have been quiet for too long, you know, and they've been mute on stuff for so long, and people just wonder, well, where's the church at when you need them? Where's the church at when you need this or when you need that? And that's what the church always was. The church was the place where you always knew that if all else failed, you could always go to the church and get some help. But they want to take you through everything before they even help you. But it shouldn't even be like that, you know. That's what God wants us to help.
I found that it's contagious, and you know, these are the members of our churches coming to us and saying, hey, you know, let's go over to the apartment complex and see if there's a need. Let's go over here and see if there's a need. It becomes contagious. You know, when people start seeing the blessings that can be provided and the blessings that are received, they start generating, like you said, that fire themselves. You know, this was the members of our congregation to say, hey, let's go identify these people. Let's talk to these people. I talked to these people, and they said that they need assistance, and we can be assistance here. And it really starts becoming a buzz, and it really just starts becoming contagious of this reaching out. But like you said, Redby, you got to put a fire on it. And once that fire is kindled, it really begins to start spreading. And then I love what you said about, you know, that the church begin to start getting that respect and that viability in the community by just doing what, you know, God has left on record for us to do. You still with me, Red B?
I'm still here. Go ahead.
yeah. But I was just saying, you know, it's just what God has left on record for us to do is simply what we're doing. Just going, I mean, how many churches, you know, are in the area that have, you know, apartment complexes or places that are adjacent to them where they could just walk over to the rental office and you know, just identify, you know, the need and be able to supply the need. I mean, it's really basic.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. And it's just a matter of just literally walking outside of your door. And in some places, you're talking less than 100 feet. You know, literally, just walking outside of your door across the street or adjacent to whoever, you know. And the thing is, you know, Pastor C, we don't have any excuses as churches as to why we can't get out here and do stuff. We have no excuse. You know, no excuse. Don't say you don't have enough resources. Don't say you don't have enough this. Don't say you don't have enough people who are committed. Because guess what? At the end of the day, it only takes one or two people to make a difference. That's it. It only takes one or two people.
The group. Partner with another organization.
That's right. That's right. You know, partner up with somebody, go out there and make it happen. You know, you don't need, you know, 50 people, 100 people to make something happen. All you need is one or two people, go out there, make it happen, walk across the street, walk to your, you know, walk in your neighborhoods or get in touch with, you know, your neighborhood associations and be like, look, do you know people in your neighborhood that may need, you know, X, Y, and Z for, you know, for the holiday? This is what we're trying to do. So those things are so easy to do, but it's just, you know, we just have got away from having that willingness to want to do it. It's just really, really sad, you know, that we've really forgotten about what true ministry and what real outreach is about, you know, and that's what it's about. It's about opening up your doors and going out and reaching out to these, these communities and to these various organizations and letting them know that we are here and we are here to help. Whatever you need, let us know. If we can't provide it, we'll get the resources, we'll get what we need to help you, you know. So, you know, but that's what the church is designed to do. It's designed to be the greatest resource in the community, because when all else fails, people should always be able to go back to the church to get whatever help they need.
And that's what we should be talking to our politicians about, our elected officials about, that they should be also talking up, you know, the faith-based community and looking out for the faith-based community, because we are the front line. We are the front line. And so when we have our government and elected officials come into office, they need to have a plan for the faith-based community. They need to have a plan, and they need to have a vision for the faith-based community, because we are the front line. We are the ones that help in so many areas. And so, you know, with this election coming up, election cycle and election cycles that come up every year, we need to make sure that our officials have a vision for the faith-based community, and that the faith-based communities have a vision for the community. I'm going to get off my soapbox, Rev B. We need to have a vision for the community, brother. I'm telling you.
Yeah, no, I mean, and that's something that we really, you know, we have to really look into as we transition into the start of another year about really, you know, what is the faith-based community doing to help, you know, the community, you know, and like we said, that outreach is the most important tool that we have, is to go out there and reach out to, you know, these various communities and various organizations and schools and whatever, and let us know that, hey, the church is here, you know. And I know, Pastor C, that, you know, you all have got your tutoring program that's getting ready to get up and start running. And that's another facet, you know, that the church, you know, has that can help the community, you know, get young people to come out, you know, on the weekends or, you know, one night during the week and get some help with their schoolwork or whatever. You know, those are resources. That's reaching out to the community and letting them know, hey, you know, we'll feed you and we'll help you with your homework. It don't get no better than that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, those are just things that, you know, should just be in place and should just be standard for churches, you know, just having resources like that, like the clothing giveaway and, you know, feeding folks and having tutoring. And, you know, I mean, those are just things that the church should just be about doing. You know, that's just something that they should be about doing. It should not just be, we show up on Sunday and we have church and we go home and we see you next Sunday. It shouldn't be about that. You know, it should be about what are we doing during the weeks that we're not in service to help advance the kingdom of God. And when we say advance the kingdom of God, that means what are we doing to bring others closer to Christ who have not accepted him as their personal Savior. That's what we talk about when we talk about advancing the kingdom. But we too busy trying to save folk that's already saved. They don't need to be saved. You got to go out and save people, you know. But that's another episode. I know we're running out of time here. Yeah. So. But before we get off the air, Pastor, see, I did just want to just make a couple of announcements that we want to give a big shout-out to New Birth Baptist Church, and we licensed a new minister today, Minister Rose.
Praise the Lord.
Oldtree. Yeah, she preached her initial sermon today, and she was licensed at New Birth, so we're very happy about her. We want to wish her congratulations and you know, just want to keep her prayed up. Of course, I always love to give a big shout-out to my home church, which is New Birth Baptist Church, and give a shout-out to Pastor G and First Lady Sheila G and all of my New Birth family. And the second thing that I wanted to say, Pastor C, I think I said this on Friday, too, is that the month of November is Diabetes Awareness Month, We just want to encourage people, especially those in our African-American communities, that if you have a history of diabetes running in your family, you are very likely to also fall victim to diabetes as well. So get yourself checked out. And, of course, we also encourage people to know that if you have been diagnosed with diabetes, that, you know, there is no cure for it, but you definitely can control it. And the best two ways is with proper diet and proper exercise, and making sure that, you know, you take your medicine as prescribed and make sure you keep up with those visits with your doctor, whether you go once a month or every couple of months. But some of those just little preventative things can help you go a long way, because, like I said, diabetes is a very serious disease. My dad lost his life because of diabetes. I had a grandmother, my grandfather, had an uncle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it runs prevalent, you know, so you have to be very, very careful, you know, because it will lead to other illnesses, you know, amputation. It can lead to blindness, can destroy your kidneys and other vital organs. So you have to be very, very careful. So we just encouraging everybody to just, you know, if you think you might have some symptoms or whatever, you know, frequent urination, you feel irritable, you feel tired, you stay hungry all the time. You know, those are just constant things that could be reminders that you might have it. So, you know, definitely go see those doctors and get yourself tested and, you know, get on the proper medicine to help control. And next week, just for a minute or two, we will talk about, you know, some of the difference between what a type 2 diabetic deals with versus a type 1 diabetic. So, but I'll let you close it on out, Pastor C. It's been a great show tonight.
Yeah, it's been a great show. And, again, you know, we want to connect people with the resources. And one of the resources you need to get connected to next week or the rest on Tuesday this week is to get to the voting booth and cast your vote. And so we're going to leave it with that. So now that you have the resource, you need to get connected.
God bless. Good night.